We do have our final guest on the line. He is a professor of clinical biochemistry and medicine and is here to talk to us about a condition called FPLD, familial partial lipodystrophy. Welcome to the show, Dr. Stephen O'Rahilly. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hi. So I've been looking at the Greek word. The Greek word for lipo is fat. So what does lipodystrophy mean?
Well, it really means when fat, which we often think of as a nasty thing we'd rather not have, but actually it's pretty necessary tissue for us all. And if we don't have enough of it, we can run into trouble. And lipodystrophy is when fat tissue can't develop normally. It only develops in certain parts of the body, fails to develop in healthy parts of the body, if you like.
So it's not just a fast metabolism, it's actually no fat at all.
Well, it's a mixture of different conditions. I mean, the one you talk about, the familial partial, is only one of a range of types of lipodystrophy. There are some children, for example, born who can't make fat in their fat cells, or other children who can make the fat cell but can't synthesize the fat to put in the fat cell. They all look very thin at birth, and they don't ever develop any fat. And you would imagine that would be great, that would be healthy, but in fact it's not. Those children are very sick because they have nowhere to store. You know, the fat cell is what's designed to store the food for our use in a few hours' time. That's where we keep it. And if we don't have a nice, healthy storage place for our food, then we're in trouble.
It keeps you warm as well, doesn't it? Fat, if you're terribly thin,
It does. I mean, we're pretty good as human beings at clothing ourselves, so it's less important now than it would be when we were evolving. But the insulation is part of the deal, but that's not that important, really.
And is this something that would happen? You would be born with this, or can it just happen to somebody at any time in their life?
So there are most of the conditions that we see people with are hereditary. They're either congenital, which means present at birth, and that tends to happen when you need two bad copies of the gene to cause the disruption of the fat cell. They're pretty rare. More common is the familial partial lipodystrophy. In other words, it runs in families. It doesn't take away all the fat in your body, but it means it's very hard to put fat on your legs and bottom, for example. And that tends to run directly in families down from mother to daughter or from father to son in a so-called autosomal dominant fashion. So most of the forms we see are genetic. There are some rare conditions where the body makes an immune reaction against its own fat and destroys it, either wholly or partially. And that's a rarer condition, but we see those too.
And does it affect men and women equally?
Well, that's interesting, because obviously men and women's body fat is normally in very different distributions. Females have much more subcutaneous body fat, much more fat under the skin normally, and therefore it's much more recognizable if a woman doesn't carry fat in the normal places on buttocks, thighs, etc. That looks abnormal, whereas in a man it often doesn't show. But the genetic conditions certainly affect both sexes equally, but very often the males are very delayed in being diagnosed.
I was reading, an article about a lady who has only 11% body fat. What would an average woman have then?
Even a slim woman is well over 20% body fat, even in a slender woman. So that sort of percentage. I mean, an athlete will have that amount of body. That's what people find it hard. It's hard to get a head around, because having low amounts of body fat because you're very fit and thin is really good for your health and reduces your chances of diabetes. But having low amounts of body fat if you're not for other reasons, for reasons that you don't have the fat tissue actually there, is very bad for you. So it is, I appreciate, difficult to get your head around that particular conundrum.
So it's, oh crikey, so it could have an association with type 2 diabetes then?
Oh, very much so. People with partial, it's not just a cosmetic thing. The reason they present to doctors is that they develop severe diabetes often, and very hard to control, and develop the complications of diabetes, and develop heart disease and liver fat and liver. Yeah, it's a very serious medical condition. It's not just a cosmetic issue.
Yeah, I have to say I've never heard of it until obviously we decided to get you on the show. And I know there are several of these conditions. They're all known as lipodystrophies. And you mentioned some are rarer than others. But how rare is this actually?
Well, you know, it's hard to get a hard figure for it. But I would guess that at somewhere between 1 in 500, 1 in 1,000 people will have an undiagnosed lipodystrophy. There'll be some, obviously, with a diagnosis, but in many, it won't be diagnosed until they present with a heart attack or diabetes that proves very hard to control. So, yes, I mean, I think it would be a reasonable estimate that something like 1 in every 500 people will carry some form of lipodystrophy.
And in order to be diagnosed, I'm assuming if somebody was just thin throughout their lives, they'd either think that was just the way they are, or maybe they get tests for underactive thyroid or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it very often tested that you know, you might have lipodystrophy?
It's not. I mean, the types that you're born with zero fat are very obvious, because babies should carry some fat and should be a bit chubby, and those babies carry no fat. So the ones that the conditions where there's absolutely no fat are very obvious to pediatricians. The difficult ones are when at puberty there starts to be a slightly abnormal shape, perhaps, you know, no fat appearing on the limbs and buttocks, maybe a little too much fat in the belly and the sort of protuberant abdomen, and people just think, well, that's my normal shape. Women often present because their body becomes very resistant to insulin, and the insulin goes up high, that messes up with the ovary function. So quite a lot of girls develop irregular periods or stop having periods, and they may attend doctors for that reason and get, you know, if they see an endocrinologist who's familiar with the condition, they may be spotted at that stage. Where we mostly diagnose it these days is in children of women and men who already have the condition, because they can spot it early in their kids.
And
that's often where we see it.
Yeah, and on that note, can it affect fertility? I would imagine it can.
It can, yes, it definitely can. More in women than men, because the insulin resistance tends to be bad for ovary function and not have such a bad impact on the male reproductive function. So if a woman has lipodystrophy, it can impair her fertility, yeah.
Crikey. So if one is unfortunate enough to have it, is there a cure, or what's the management
process? Well, there are various ways we can manage it better. There are what we can't do at the moment is get the fat to go back. What we can try and do is help people. Often getting very expert dietary attention is the crucial thing. We run a national service here in the UK for people with lipodystrophy, and our dietitians are experts at really helping people calculate what they can eat safely during the day, how, in terms of amounts and timing and food. So managing around the food is really important. I often use the analogy, it's a bit like, you know, being healthy is like having a bath in your bathroom, and you can fill it up halfway and it doesn't spill over, so your bathroom carpet stays nice and clean. But if you overfilled your bath, it spills out and you get a horrible mucky carpet. Now, people with lipodystrophy have a tiny bath, if you know what I mean. So if the food coming in is like the water coming in, they can only take a very small excess of food coming in versus energy going out, and they get into a real mess. So what we can help them do is control the food intake. If they have no fat cells or very low amount of fat cells, they lack a hormone that comes from fat cells called leptin, and leptin treatment can be very beneficial. So many of our patients are on leptin. At the moment in Europe, that's on a compassionate basis by the company who make it. It's going to be going through regulatory authorities at the moment. It is already licensed in America and in Japan. And in Europe, it's currently going through an assessment by the European Medicines Agency. And this can definitely help the metabolic health of people with certain forms of lipodystrophy.
Well, it must be awful, and I certainly will be watching this space, because I'm sure there's research being done all the time, and I'm hoping they'll find a cure eventually.
Well, eventually that's what we would hope, of course. We're better now than we were 10 years ago, and that's what happens in medicine. Often you get small incremental steps, and then eventually, altogether, you look back and think, wow, we're far better off now than we were X years ago. So I'm hoping that's what we'll succeed in doing.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Stephen, are there any relevant websites in case our listener is listening and thinks they want to find out more?
There is a UK website. I should have. I mean, I think if you just put lipodystrophy into and patient support group, you will find the lipodystrophy support group. Our patients are great people, and they've come together and they put together a support organization for people with lipodystrophy. But if people just Google lipodystrophy support group, they will find the necessary information.
Wonderful. Dr. Stephen O'Rahilly, thank you so much for being on the show and telling us all about it. I've learned something new.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.